Today, there are 166 people with COVID-19 in New South Wales in correctional facilities, and about 40 of those are Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people. Last week, New South Wales prisons were sent into lockdown to prevent the spread of COVID-19. However, calls to release low-risk or non-violent prisoners have been building, as prisoner welfare advocates argue that locking down is putting more lives in danger. The Wire's Michelle Stevenson has this story.
Last Monday, a statewide prison lockdown was announced in New South Wales to control COVID-19 outbreaks. Parkley Correctional Centre, Silverwater Correctional Facility and Bathurst Correctional Centre are among the current locations of concern. Dr. Talia Anthony is a Professor of Law at the University of Technology, Sydney. She tells us about the current situation.
In New South Wales, there's been a number of outbreaks in prisons, and this has obviously been of great concern to people in prisons as well as their families and loved ones. At the moment, there's 166 people who have COVID in prisons, and about 40 of them are Aboriginal people. So it's a very significant number, and it's a great concern because of the transmissibility of the Delta variant, and we know that prisons are not well ventilated, not well spaced places that enable people to, you know, have a degree of social distancing and to protect themselves from the transmission.
The vaccination rates in prisons have been reported at around 20%, which Talia explains is the result of a combination of factors.
Certainly there is the issue of supply. It's only recently that people have been offered Pfizer, and for people, especially with underlying health conditions or diabetes, they've expressed that they have concerns about AstraZeneca. And other people in prison are still saying they haven't been offered a vaccine. There seems to be no consistency. People, for example, in one intake may be offered. If they don't take it up when the next vaccination's offered, they might not be eligible. So it seems not a very coordinated response, which might change now that there's a lot more emphasis statewide in New South Wales on the vaccination. But I think it's really concerning given that they were listed as a priority group at the start of the year. And here we are, you know, 9 months on, and it's still a proportion of the prison population who were vaccinated is lower than the proportion in the general population, whereas given they were a priority, it should be the reverse.
Talia says Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander prisoners are facing concerns around their health and well-being due to the historic and current systemic racism in the justice and health system.
They have concern that if COVID spreads in prisons, that they will be particularly vulnerable because they won't receive the necessary health care. And last year, Michaela Reynolds spoke out about her brother, Nathan Reynolds, who died in prison because he wasn't given health care for an asthma attack and died consequently. And she raised concerns that if they can't help her brother with something that is very preventable, how will they help people where there's a mass outbreak and many people? You know, we know now 40 people and Aboriginal people have COVID. You know, if it continues to grow, they feel there won't be capacity. And because of systemic racism, they won't get the adequate treatment that's needed.
New South Wales prisons subsequently went into lockdown to curb the high rates of COVID-19 infection. However, prison welfare advocacy group Justice Action say this could have the opposite effect. Justice Action coordinator Brett Collins explains.
You're really talking about people who are locked up anyway for 18 hours a day in their cells. But then what we have now is people locked up for all the whole day except for 10 minutes. They get out 10 minutes out of their cells and then into the, normally not into the yard, into the sunshine, but actually into the body of the wing. So you have people who don't have access to showers, who don't have access to phones, who are then left in these like really intense areas the same size as like somebody's normal bathroom, sharing the cell with two or three other people, and then obviously cross-infecting one another in the process as well. So it's very much of a short-term situation where people don't have access to the normal services like time out of cells, access to programs, access to education, access to phone calls to loved ones, and of course waiting for this sense of infection running through the whole system. Oh, it's a tinderbox. It's a bomb waiting to go off, but it wasn't anticipated a long time ago. But the prison authorities haven't responded, and now prisoners and their families will be the victims.
Despite legislation allowing the release of low-risk prisoners, these actions have not yet been taken. Justice Action are taking the issue to the courts.
The letter of demand is now being prepared in preparation for the court case, and that is that that's a series of issues actually are being raised that should ensure that at least prisoners are not the sitting ducks that they currently feel they are.
Brett Collins, coordinator at Justice Action, ending that report from The Wire's Michelle Stevenson.